everyone, welcome to Law and Order S Review here on Fanversation. I've started doing the hand motions to join you, Taylor. You do them nicely, and I just...
I haven't done the science. I've been doing it for a hot minute now. You're a rookie. It's okay.
Well, welcome. I know we're on another special date and time. We are talking season 25. Sorry. Bless you. How dare you sneeze on the street?
I'm so sorry. The allergies are getting me.
Let's try this again. Yes. This is season 25, episode 5, Zone Rouge. What episode, Taylor?
5.
Nice. If you need to talk to somebody, please reach out to RAIN, the National Assault Hotline, I believe it's called. Their number is 1-800-656-4673, 1-800-656-4673. Taylor, what does that spell?
It spells hope.
It does spell hope. If this is your first time enjoying the S Review podcast, well, you can see how serious we are.
Sure thing.
Oy. Consider this your content warning. This episode did deal with some serious things, and I guarantee we say something offensive AF. There are a lot of things in my notes where I went, what the fuck is this? So there's going to be a lot of that. Also, there's going to be a lot of swearing. This podcast is marked as it's explicit on podcast platforms. So
for a reason. Indeed.
Yeah. Already people talking live in our chat. Deanna is here, Alex is here, Danny's here. Danny points out, happy Monday, ladies. We finally have an equal male-female ratio.
We'll get to that, won't we?
We will. Fuck. All right. Zone Rouge. Let me read the quick cap and then I'll ask for your opinion on this episode. A cryptic message sends SVU on a new track to find Maddie. Benson tries to help a federal agent when the case hits too close to home, and Captain Curry tries to make amends with Finn. Taylor, what did you think of Zone Rouge?
I mean, I'm glad the Maddie stuff is over. I thought there were some interesting elements. I love it when the details are really creepy and unexpected, like the fact he was like, this is a little boy, which, I mean, we'll talk about that in more depth, but I liked the twist of that. I liked the fact that she like gave the little ticket back to the guy. I thought that was really smart. I thought the fentanyl in the water bottle was pretty wild. So there were details that I enjoyed of it. I mean, if we're going to talk about it, we're going to talk about it. I usually am like, yeah, bring this person on. They're so interesting and fun. Let them join our team. This is Walmart Rollins, and I don't really care.
Okay. You've said so much. All right. First of all, your details that you like, it's like, I feel like you're grasping for straw. You're like, let me find something
I
like.
I was like, okay, that's interesting. Like, I don't know. I thought all the stuff on the train was like an interesting start, because it's, you know, I like it when it gets creepy and weird. We both like it when it gets creepy and weird and different. And I thought those were nice little elements that were weird and wacky and wild and a little spooky.
All right. Well, I agree. I think the stuff on the train was great. See, first of all, Maddie being, I think, one of the smartest victims we've ever had, and like her continue to make smart decisions, I did appreciate that. I think that's something we don't often see. And so I like that not only did she leave her bracelet behind to let them know that she was there, but she like tried to reach out for help when she had the opportunity. I do like that. Yeah. The other thing you said about our new, was it Shauna Sykes, Shanna. What is her name? I'm pulling it up.
Because I tried to type it in my notes and it kept auto-correcting to Hannah. And I was like, it's not, unfortunately, just normally Hannah. It's Shanna.
Yeah,
it's Shanna. Two H's and whatever.
That's a whole question there. You called her a Walmart Rollins.
Yes.
Now, I would like to take this a step further.
Okay.
Rollins is Walmart Rollins. I would say that this character is Dollar Store.
Yeah, I am just saying that because, like, she has every Rollins element to her. And I'm like, why are we just replacing her? Just bring Rollins back, because you already are bringing Rollins back every other episode. Like, I thought about it. I like Rollins. I wish she was not gone, but why are we this bitch here? What happened to people last season? What happened to Churlish? Like, what?
Here's the thing.
Where's Muncie? Why?
I have to say this. The actress who plays Shanna, God, what a name. Sykes. The actress who plays her, Jordana Spiro. I love this actress. Love her. Have seen her in so many things. Really like her work. Hate this character.
Like, here's the thing. I don't hate her because she's not interesting enough for me to hate. It's like the most classic, like, we've seen this archetype 8 zillion times, not even just in SVU, but in media, period. Oh, she's sad because her sister, and so she's doing all of this to make up for that, and she's tortured and all this. Okay. We've been there and we've done that. This is like giving us religious Catholic people after Stabler. Like, get some new material. Sorry.
I think that this felt like a it reminded me of, I can't even remember, was it Erica Christian? Is that the actress's name?
Yeah.
One episode. Like, it reminds me of that. And the fact that we decided to bring her on is shocking to me. Also, we got our huge question last episode was, how is Captain Curry joining the team as a captain? And so I do appreciate that that was a question that, like, at least Finn was like, agreed. What? So I did like that. But again, like, okay, so we're bringing a captain from IAB to SVU, and now we're bringing an FBI agent.
Right.
Okay. I don't think that's how the cops work.
Yeah, well, yeah. I agree. I'm like, okay. And I knew it was going to happen too, which is the annoying part. I'm like, oh, she's going to join our squad too. And like I said, usually I'd be thrilled by that. Usually we're begging these people, but this person is just so boring to me.
I'm with you. I think it's so funny how often we'll meet a very small character and you and I will jump on it and be like, bring that person.
Yeah.
And now we're like, no, thank you.
We've just seen everything that she's about 1,000 times before. She brings nothing new to the table for me.
I think what's interesting to me is that she's spent 10 years at the FBI doing what she's doing. And so to now bring her on as, like, kind of the, as Finn would call her, another stray. But she's so experienced that we're now going to have to break her out of her habits as opposed to, like, train her because she's new. And I don't want to see somebody who's supposedly that experienced and high up, you know, she's the East Coast expert on child abductions, to then come in and us having to be like, that's not how we do things.
Yeah, I'm bored. I'm sick of that. Okay, speaking of Finn,
what the hell
is going on with his character, straight up? Because he's like,
I got you.
I'm going to have your back, Olivia, always, and I'll cut any new bitch that's in here, blah, blah, blah. But then he's still piling on about, I don't know that you know that that's Maddie. All of it, like, what? Where is your actual loyalty, bro? Because it's getting confusing.
Tari said the same thing. He goes, we paused the episode. And he goes, he just said, I got Benson's back. First, last, always. And then the next scene went, Liv, I think you're seeing too much into this.
Like, yeah, I just don't understand. Pick a lane.
So funny. Oh, man. This episode, here are some questions that I have about this episode. Okay, first of all, George's sketches, right? Like, he's an incredible artist. Oh, I think it just clicked in my head. What he drew was, I believe, World War I, which ties into the Zone Rouge situation. Put that aside. His incredible artwork did not come into play ever. So
I forgot that even happened until you just said that.
I only remembered because I had to rewatch to take my notes, and I went, wait, what does this have to, like, he's an amazing artist. What does this have to do with anything? Then I just want to put out all of my what the fuck moments.
Sure.
When Tanya says she's high, and they're like, what are you talking about? She goes, from the photo, you can tell. My notes say, no shit. Did you see the face in the photo? No shit, she's high. The whole donuts thing. What the fuck was that?
Like, she didn't make those. Or maybe she did, because the sprinkles looked, like, very amateur. Such a small detail. But when he's eating them, the sprinkles are flying everywhere. Listen, I'm not mad. Like, I would absolutely eat a homemade donut. But, like, that's not the trope. The trope is not that you make the donuts. The trope is that you buy them.
I just... Okay? First of all, making a homemade donut, like, that's...
Very
like,
yeah,
yeah, that's not an easy... That's not like cupcakes. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Anyway, so first of all, you need a deep fryer. Second of all, the way that Olivia like does this and they all the things fly. I was like, what is happening?
Okay, I have another one.
About the donut?
On the list. What the hell was going on with that girlfriend? Okay. Oh,
the baby mama is my favorite character of this whole episode.
Okay, me too. But like she is shady as hell. Like no one is that happy to be there and talk. Like you are sketchy. And then the gum thing.
The gum.
Like, what the hell was that? Like I thought that was gonna be laced with something. No, it's just gum.
Okay.
I don't buy that.
So there were multiple moments in this episode where we had like silence.
Yeah.
And my question is, was the script too short? And they just had to fill it, and that's why we have this whole gum exchange, was to take up time.
Like, if that, like, did something, or even was a red herring for something, that's fine. It was no, there's no reason for that at all.
I loved it so much. It made no sense. My notes are like, the gum, what the fuck? It makes no sense. I absolutely love this gum interaction, because it's pointless as fuck.
Unhinged.
I have to give some shout outs because I am obsessed with the baby mama. The fact that she was like, hi, like I'm clean, so I'll help you, but I'm staying clean. And that she doesn't trust her baby daddy and continues to, she's like, I mean, I'm with him, but I don't trust him.
There was just like something so off that I was like, surely that's going to be explained and come back.
No.
Oh.
Okay, here are some shout outs. As we said, our newest detective, Special Agent Sykes, is Jordana Spiro. Agent Clay is Josh Cook. In my mind, for some reason, I only see that man as like a sitcom actor. And I went and looked it up to try to find like where I put him in my head. And the truth is he's done so much, but in my head, he's just a sitcom actor and I can't wrap my head around the idea that he's supposed to be in charge at the FBI, but that's a me problem.
I kind of liked him weirdly.
I agree.
Clark Kent.
Yeah. Our new IAB captain, Renee Curry, is Amy Donna Kelly. The Flynns, the mom is Leslie Frey, dad, Zach Robitas. I'm going to say something. Remember, there was a content warning. How long has it been since he hung himself? Because there was no mark. Exactly. And also, I don't... Go on.
For how he tried to do it, yo.
Poorly.
Just saying.
I guess anyway.
Once a little bit, because...
Anyway. Yeah. George, our creepy George from Canada, is played by Patrick Carroll.
That's terrifying.
You don't like him?
Scary, but I mean, good job for the actor, but he's scary.
I agree. I think Patrick Carroll did an amazing job. It was creepy as fuck.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He was good, but I was freaked out. But also, why put Amtrak in this again? What did Amtrak literally ever do to you guys? Seriously.
So funny. Maddie Flynn was played by Allison Elaine. How do we feel about Maddie Flynn's performance in this episode?
I'm glad that we finally got to like see her doing stuff. And like I said, I thought that twist of like, that is Maddie, even though she looks so different and she's presenting, which, I mean, I would have loved to get more into like the gender fluidity of things and like the fact that people can be non-binary and gender fluid. But if we're just going to be very binary, I thought it was like, I thought that was interesting. I thought that was like a fun little twist. You're like, oh, because I didn't think that was Maddie at the beginning. Like, and so the fact that they kind of talk about tunnel vision, I think that's super interesting because, yeah, that's like a better disguise than anything you could do, like making her just like look very feminine still, because people are going to be looking for a girl. And if it look like a girl, quote unquote, I think that's really fascinating. And I thought she did a good job. Like I said, I thought it was really fun that she was so, and you talked about this too, like resourceful and trying really hard to like push through and, you know, drop that tick on the ground. I thought that was really interesting. So I liked that we finally got to see her, and I think that she did a good job.
I totally agree with you. If you've seen this show before, you know that I have a problem where I don't recognize people when they change their hair. It's like an actual issue that I have. So genuinely, like, I knew it was Maddie because I had been told, but would have 100% been one of the detectives being like, I don't see it. But also, I think that would have been the moment where people go, yeah, yo, you can't tell when people change their hair.
Yeah.
Genuinely, yeah. Even like when she was dressed feminine and we saw her at the end, I was like, still don't see the same person.
She looks so different. And I think they did a good job of like, yeah, she's been super drugged, of course, too. She's been like, sold. And so it wasn't just like, she looks like a boy now. Like, I think they did a really good job of making her look like she's been through it. And I think that actress did good too. Like, she was just crying in the hospital room. I was like, that must have been exhausting to shoot, because you shoot multiple times, obviously. Like, she was in it. So
totally. Baby mama played by Lindsay Dressbach. I don't know how to say it. Character's name was Heather, but I'm calling her baby mama. Obsessed.
She's unhinged.
Loved this so much. Return of Tanya, played by Leilani Celeste.
I really liked Tanya.
I did too. I like that she came back. I'm surprised that, again, we didn't see the SVU detective from, was it Brooklyn, wherever? That, like, the one we actually liked.
Yeah.
And was involved in the beginning, but whatever. And lastly, Leonard Fleming was played by Alex Parkinson. Oh man, this episode, so many things happened.
They keep introducing all of these characters. For what? It's so bizarre. And also, we never see our other characters is the thing that really gets me. Like, not that I want to see Velasco, but like, where is that man? Like, where is he?
It's so interesting to have an episode where we, like, Curry now joins our team. We have her butting heads with Finn, and then neither of them are involved. Right? Like, then right. Benson goes off and does something with someone else.
And then, was it Garcia, the one that...
Yep.
It's like, where is she? What happened to any of these people?
I forgot about Garcia.
Yeah. She was just like introduced a couple episodes ago, never seen again. Okay.
I'm surprised Finn hasn't pointed out we're collecting strays again.
Right. It's redundant at this point.
Deanna says, I wonder where that cop went. Is she still at Maddie's house? That's good. That's very funny. Alexa talking about the baby mama, that 80s outfit. Oh, so good. Obsessed. Okay, so as we know, I love it when this show explores or at least tries to open the door to discuss different kinks. And in this episode, we had two. So first of all was the fact that the guy who bought Maddie was a voyeur, which they did not explain other than to essentially kink shame and call him a peeping Tom, which is not the same thing as a voyeur, but this guy is a voyeur, and that's a whole, they should really do an episode about voyeurism, but whatever. And the other one was that apparently this voyeur specifically was also a dendrophile, which I don't think is actually true, but that's a whole other story. So dendrophile, hilariously, is one of the first like philias that I learned about, and I don't recall why. Like when I was a kid, it was like a joke that people were like, you're a dendrophile. Anyway, doesn't matter. It's people who like trees, as Taylor said. But I love that we had two kinks in this episode, and then disappointed that one, we kink shamed both, and two, we didn't explore either.
Well, okay. I will say, like, we don't know what he did to get those seven times. Like, he maybe was also a peeping Tom and doing things that were not legal. And
sure,
so...
I'm sorry. Let me clarify. Good call. I'm not defending this terrible human being who bought a girl. I'm not defending that. I'm discussing that there were these two concepts that were broached in this episode. And instead of like reflecting on what these things are, we just straight out kink shame them. Like,
yeah, I just mean, like, I mean, is peeping Tom is like not the same thing as voyeurism?
I mean, a peeping Tom is a voyeur who is, I guess, doing it illegally or is bad. Like, a peeping Tom is like a, is not a good thing. But somebody who is a peeping Tom would be a voyeur. Like, they're into watching, if that makes sense.
It does. I just feel like I get your point. I don't think this is the episode to go into voyeurs.
Totally. Not the episode for it. But I do appreciate that they were like, hey, we're trying to show you kinks. Sorry.
Dendrophile would have been interesting. I'll give you that. I would have enjoyed seeing that. I think that could have been relevant here.
I just, you know what I want on the team is I want somebody who is like, we don't kink shame here every time.
Well, it would
like,
have been Kat.
That's so true.
Be real.
You just made me so sad.
Yeah, well, I'm always going to mention Kat. If I don't mention Kat once an after show, like, it's not a real after show that we've done.
Oh, I miss Kat. Okay, so we have this confrontation, Deanna in the chat, Miss Kat, everybody's agreeing. We have this confrontation of Sykes versus Carisi.
Yawn, I don't care.
I just don't understand, like, I don't understand Sykes. I don't get this character because there's nothing new and exciting about her. And it's a bummer because, again, I love this actress.
Yeah, they really should have given her a different background. So, yeah. Oh, we're tortured because our sister. Yeah, so is everybody's sister, brother, whatever, in the squad room. Like, I'm sorry, but that's true. Like, it's sad every time, but it's like, after a point, get someone with a different motivation. Switch it up a little bit.
And then she's going to be on loan from the FBI, which reminded me, to be fair, Tari said this, so I'm stealing it from him, but he pointed out that it's like Wong. Wong was on loan from the FBI.
You should have Wong back instead.
He retired.
Well, break him out of retirement. last case.
Okay, here's my last question about this episode.
Sure.
Remember the thing with the dolls?
Right, barely relevant. There was a suitcase.
What the fuck happened with the dolls?
They're just being used for the lunch movies.
But the dolls that were specifically made based on a photo of Maddie, and she was originally taken and sold because of the dolls.
I could say something so awful right now.
Say it. Hit me.
The doll does not look like her anymore. Am I wrong? It looks so different from her normally. She won't like the doll anymore.
No, but I wouldn't. I'm going to say something even worse.
Right, yeah.
Ready?
Yep.
I'm sure they would find an audience to make dolls that look like her now.
Of course.
Now she looks like a little boy.
Of course. But I'm just saying, like, but the doll, okay, but that looks like her. We've mentioned that the dolls don't look actually like, period. Like, because she doesn't have blonde hair anymore, or long blonde hair, like, done. Like, she doesn't look like her anymore. You change one thing, if the doll no longer looks like you.
I just, it was so much more, like, again, another fetish, like the dolls. Where did that go?
It's disappeared.
I just, I really want SPU to all of a sudden become, like, kink education.
Yeah, no, we have to talk about Shanna's sister some more, so.
All right, let's go to best lines.
Yeah.
I have two. So the first one is from my favorite character, the baby mama. I do his laundry. Sometimes it's like I have two babies, which is like a whole other discussion that I'm happy to argue about in terms of people who marry, specifically in heterosexual couples, when a woman marries a man and essentially has to take on a child. I like heard that line and I went, ooh, I've had this argument with so many people recently. Mm-hmm. And the other line is, Uncle Sam's our sugar daddy tonight. Am I right, Clay?
I love that one too.
Perfection, that line.
Yeah. Okay, so mine were, a couple of them are like exchanges, but Curry needed a change and you needed a Rollins, which is a funny line, but it's not true because Sykes is the Rollins. Mm-hmm. The Zone Rouge thing I thought was like interesting. I love a random little phrase like thrown in there, and the whole quoting the poem or whatever I thought was like a fun touch. Wouldn't be the first time you put a girl in a bag. I see you're a student of history. No, I'm a student of Tanya Garcia. I said, ooh, mic drop. Love that. I love that they called the FBI guy Clark Kent. I thought that was very funny. And finally, as much as I'm shitting on Shanna and her sister, I did like the line, I don't feel her in the world anymore, because I thought that was really sad and like an actually powerful and good line. So if nothing else about that conversation, I thought that was really heartbreaking. So.
I totally agree with you. I think that line was really powerful. I also like, and I wish their relationship was like this, but it wasn't. It's when Sykes asks Benson if she can forget about it. And Benson says, do you want me to lie to you? And she says, yeah, that'd be great. And she goes, yeah, I'm going to do that as much as I'm going to forget that that happened. That is a fun, quippy, like back and forth, a little banter.
Yeah.
But it didn't happen anywhere before. And it didn't happen anywhere after. So that's not their relationship.
It just feels like such a Rollins thing, too. And it just makes me sad because it's like you can't just transplant her personality onto this new person. Like, I don't know. I'm frustrated with her. And I hope we get some more differentiation. But right now, it really does just feel like a one-to-one replacement for someone we liked and didn't want it to leave. So,
yeah. you asked earlier, where our other cops are. And so when Finn says, Uncle Sam's our sugar daddy tonight, am I right, Clay? I went, where is Detective Moneybags?
For real.
What, Bruno is your sugar daddy. Where is he?
Seriously.
Deanna in the chat asks if we're shipping it. I think the question about Sykes and Benson, I'm going to be honest, no. I'm shipping still Benson and Curry.
Yep, I'm the same. Because this one feels too forced. And the Benson and Curry feels very natural.
It really did feel so natural.
Yeah. There was electric in the air.
What about Curry and Sykes?
I have to see them interact more. Or at all. I don't know if they interact.
They didn't. But yeah. I could see it. I mean, we have to see it. But I think that is a possibility.
Because okay, let's be so honest. Will not let Olivia be with a woman. Like, that's just true. Like, I just know Lucy. However, they're two new people. Like, they might let them be gay for a second. That's the more realistic ship.
All right, so it's time for our shower thoughts. Oh yeah, for our friends who listen in the shower. Taylor, do you have any shower thoughts today?
Do I have any shower thoughts today? I hope that your shower is as delightful as Curry's homemade donuts. I hope that you sprinkled with pleasantly warm water, just as the sprinkles on the donuts were sprinkled all around the precinct. I hope that you love your shower as much as that dude loved trees. And I just hope that your week is off to a wonderful and clean start.
That's beautiful. You reminded me of the Dendrophile and his love of trees. And I will say, it was like such a small line, but he spread the leaves all around so that he could hear if she got up.
Yeah.
And it reminded me of the rapist who put the plates on the back of the husband's, like put the husband down and put the plates on him so that if he got up, they'd hear the plates fall.
Yeah, that's so creepy. I hate that.
Great shower thoughts, Taylor. Good job.
Thanks. Thank you so much.
In the chat, I see Alexa gave us an OC update. Alexa, thank you so much, because we're not watching Organized Crime anymore, because I cannot. Olivia called Elliot. She heard he got suspended, but he let it go to voicemail, just like he did when he shot Jenna. Interesting.
So they're playing phone tag, and Elliot is regressing into bad habits again. That's great to hear.
I know that Carisi like crossed over and was there for a second. At least I saw that in a trailer.
Okay, I'm sorry. This made me think of it because we're talking about Elliot. And in my notes, the way Olivia was freaking out when Shanna was yelling in the guy's face.
Yeah.
Like, it was not that serious. Like, you have seen other people beat the shit out of perps, and she's like raising her voice a little, and you're like, whoa, like, I thought that was so hypocritical.
I agree. I agree with you. I think that it was too, I think that Sykes' response was too reserved. Like, if she was freaking out, she should have been freaking out. I would have appreciated like a tighter hold that she's choking him,
yeah,
or like a reach back like she's gonna punch him, or you know, something closer to his face, even like something more aggressive to have the reaction that Olivia had.
Yeah, she was like really freaked. I was like, this is tame compared to what your little buddies usually do to these people.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had to mention that.
All right. We do not have any new iTunes reviews, and that is a bummer. If you would like to give us an iTunes review, please do so. 5 stars if you like us, 4 stars if you don't. Other stars are still broken. Hell yeah, they are. Also, leave us a comment, rating, and review. Let us know what we're doing well, what we could do better. Complain about our sound. Go ahead. But don't give us less than 4 stars if you're going to do that. Yep. Also, I see a lot of people commenting on our YouTube videos, and I absolutely love it. I read every single one. So thank you for doing that. If you write a review on iTunes, though, we'll read it live on the air. So that's that. Taylor, it's time for What Did We Learn?
Yep.
And I really hope you learned about Zone Rouge and want to teach us about it.
I found the whole concept of Zone Rouge extremely confusing. But let me Google it so I make sure I am doing it right. I mean, it's like whatever, like your territory that you find comfort or whatever, right? Something like that.
So
there's a lot more to it, though, and I found that they didn't really explain it well.
I'm totally with you. Here's what I found for Zone Rouge.
Yeah.
Okay. So first of all, this is from World War One.
Yeah.
And it's defined as an area that was completely devastated. Like,
oh,
totally damaged. This is why it's even more confusing that like he found comfort in his Zone Rouge, but it's apparently supposedly the like area that is totally messed up, is damaged by conflict for and can't be fixed. Rather than attempt to immediately clean it up after the battlefield, the land was allowed to return to nature. Okay, so like it's super destroyed and then you can't live on it and you can't clean it, but allow like nature to take its course in it. What you got?
Yeah, that one. Beyond that, I feel like, okay, I feel like this episode, the writers were like, I'm going to prove that I went to the school and I'm going to throw in all these terms that are so confusing that we don't explain at all. Because like Zone Rouge, Messianic Nihilist, like they really whipped that one out of somewhere. And I also tried to look it up and there's just like not a lot of information about that either. So I'm like, okay, Google can't even tell me this. That's virtual. Dendrophile, that one was easier to look up and figure out. But yeah, I like sort of learned about those things. I learned that I need to research those things, I guess, because the show is not going to be the education that I so crave about them.
But also, like, what did his poem have to do with, like, not just what did his poem have to do with it, but he, like, does his poem, and then Benson is like, ah, like a Zone Rouge. He's like, ooh, you know history. And she's like, nope. And I'm like, wait, so what?
So right. Just happened. I thought it was so confusing. Like, okay. Maybe I'm dumb, I guess. I don't know.
Listen, our podcast has never claimed to be educational. Yeah. We have never claimed to be smart.
Funny. What is that? More do you guys need? Like, and we're hot, so okay, like whatever. 2 out of 3.
Deanna says they should have had more trees.
So agreed. Could not agree more.
Totally. So what did we learn? I did not learn Zone Rouge.
No,
I'm gonna be honest.
Didn't learn Messianic Nihilist, unfortunately, either. But one, I guess. So
I already knew Dendrophile. What did I learn?
I don't really want Shanna joining the team, I guess.
Here's a question. About the episode, there was another, speaking of parts where I got confused and it got real messy and complicated. So we found out the name used to buy the ticket for the train by George from Canada was something else completely. Mm-hmm. That gets interrupted for Benson and Sykes to interview the drug dealer and his baby mama. The baby mama tells us that the phone that she has had another number that he sent the photo to George from Canada? He's working with George from Canada? Then why would the girl give him the note? It's very confusing. I didn't understand if the drug mule had anything to do with George from Canada and Maddie's disappearance.
It was super convoluted and confusing, and I agree. I'm not really sure where we landed on that either.
Also, he took a picture of drugged boy Maddie and texted it to his girlfriend who's on the phone with. Right? That's what it seemed like. So she then gave that photo to the cops with the note when she found it when she did his laundry.
Mm-hmm.
So then when she pulled out his extra phone to give to the cops, what did that get us?
Like his history of his texts, I guess. I don't know.
His history of what?
His texts and communication. Mm. I suppose.
All right. It got real complicated at one point that I literally, on second watching also, was like, I'm zoning out. I'll come back in when it gets more back on track.
Yeah, it was a little much.
This episode was something. So what did I learn? This episode was something.
Yep.
Anyway. That's, I think, it for this episode. I agree. I like that we wrapped up the Maddie stuff. We know how much I didn't care for it. I think it's interesting, and I do appreciate that she wasn't assaulted. She wasn't raped. I think that's a nice change of pace for the show. Something Tari pointed out. I like that I keep pointing out the Tari's feedback on the show because he watches with me on Thursday. No. He pointed out something very interesting, which is that in the press conference at the end when Maddie shows her bracelet, the question was, does Maddie know that Benson wore a bracelet up until her father tried to kill himself and she left it in the room?
I'm assuming yes, because I feel like they talked about like how everything went down with her, I'm assuming.
All right. They like let her know that Benson has been the one who's...
Yeah.
All right. I'll allow it. Taylor Strickland in the chat says, did anyone see Liv's new bracelet? And then Alexa says her Valentine gift. I am not aware of what we're talking about here. So please inform, educate, tell us, let's share this information. Did Benson get a Valentine's gift? Is it from Stabler? Is it from Curry?
I'm not mad at either.
While you tell us that, I'll remind people that we made shenanigan wear that you can buy, what is it? Slam and pair of jeans onesie for your offspring.
Yep.
We have justice for snowball things,
yeah.
A prescription for orgasms. You can get a Detective Moneybags shirt. I survived Hudson University, I think sticker or magnet is available. Alexa's, it was posted on X. I think that's Twitter. And it was a Pandora heart bracelet. Taylor Strickland says when she was chasing that guy that had Maddie. Oh, is that when we could have seen it? When she was chasing? Interesting. Interesting.
Okay.
Taylor, you're on Twitter still?
I will try and dig and find it.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. Was she given this Valentine's gift on Organized Crime? Is that how we should have known about this? Is everything... I didn't look at the dates. As we know, I don't look at the date cards. Did we find Maddie before Valentine's Day?
I have no clue, unfortunately.
You and I are really good at leading this show and taking note of details.
I'm not, like, doing this for timeline. We're talking about the plot and the characters. That's all you're going to get.
I'm bitching and moaning about... poor BDSM representation and not enough queer characters and ships. Alexis's notes, just something that was noticed on her when she held the gun. I see. Okay. All right. Well, we missed it. I was busy paying attention to the baby mama and the gum.
Yeah.
And waiting for the gum to come into play.
Yeah. Same.
Hilarious. Okay, until next time, and we will be, Taylor, will we be back on Sunday? Yeah,
I think so.
We will be back to our regular date and time on Sunday for the new episode. But until then, Taylor, ooh, where are you these days and what are you up to?
I am on Twitter/X at @alphabet_Ann. I'm also on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_.
Amazing. I am Yael Teagle. I'm everywhere at Yael Teagle. That is Y everywhere. I'm on Instagram only at Yael Teagle. That is YAELTYGIEL. I also now have, and it is live, and I'm posting content on my Bookstagram account, Good Little Library Mouse, where I'm reading smutty romance and a lot of kink and fetish and BDSM stuff. So that explains where my head's at. And if you want my thoughts on those topics or recommendations on different books with different kinks and fetishes and BDSM representation, that is definitely the place to be. Good Little Library Mouse. Okay, until Sunday. Thanks for joining us. We love having you here. Thank you, Alexa and Taylor and Deanna. And I saw other people were here live. Danny was here. People were chatting live with us, and we love it. So thanks for being here. Mwah. We'll see you guys next time.